Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 320. I'm going to say 329 because yep. I just lost track. I am Chris. Tony is not here today, but Jeff is.
AKA Mega Man.
Pete is here as well. And special guest to talk about the big news for today is Earl.
Red Dead Redemption 2. Woo!
It's funny because I have to wonder how Rockstar felt about that, because Nintendo kind of snuck that in there on Wednesday. Like, Wednesday evening-ish came that little picture of Mario being like, hey, tomorrow we're going to unveil a new Nintendo thing, and...
I guarantee you Nintendo's oblivious.
No, I'm sure, but I bet Rockstar just felt like they had the rug pulled out from under them.
They got a lot of coverage over the first 3 days of that that drawn out announcement that they had. So,
I would also say that I don't necessarily think it was Nintendo. I just think that was a really weak first trailer. It wasn't anything special. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we're already diving off the deep end here, but the lead up to that Rockstar trailer, that Red Dead trailer, was way more exciting than the Red Dead trailer itself. So Nintendo.
Yeah.
What a thing.
Nintendo announced the long-awaited NX. It's called the Nintendo Switch, and it's pretty much what...
Everyone already knew it was.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's a portable... home console hybrid. It has detachable controllers on the side.
Modular, too, it looks like.
Modular?
Meaning that, like, so, it looks like there are... I could see a future where Nintendo comes out with different pieces to attach to the sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And attaches to the base that they showed. So,
I saw pictures of, like, a GameCube add-on. Someone drew, you know? Like, I have a GameCube type of controller to get attached to the side of it.
Yeah, like, the possibilities are kind of, endless is hyperbole, but, like, there are a lot of different things that they could do with something like that.
Yeah. It is cartridge-based.
Yes.
They
snuck that in there. It's literally a two-second spot in that video where you see some woman push a 3DS-looking cartridge into the side.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising. Like, that was also one of the big rumors that had kind of been floating around, and it makes sense as it's a portable device as well. So, there's a new Mario title, I guess.
Yeah, did you guys see the NeoGAF stabilized footage? That's like it's like the 5 seconds, but it's not all shaky and on a television. It's like full screen, and you can just sort of look at more of the details of the levels.
No, did not.
No. I read like an article about it, at least, though.
What was that, Earl?
I thought that was the most fascinating thing about the reveal is how kind of vague it all is in terms of kind of software.
Right. So was that a new Splatoon? Was that a new Mario Kart?
So, from what I've seen people poking around about, at least those two titles, the content shown on both of them is not from the older games. So, Fosse's here.
But is it like an enhanced port?
Yeah, that's the thing people don't know. Like, does this mean that it's backwards compatible with the Wii U? Does this mean that that we're going to be getting NX releases of these titles with updated content? Like... It could be a couple of different things. This is the link, by the way, to the stabilized footage. So, like, a 3-second GIF, but you can really see sort of the detail in, like, the little almost like Day of the Dead looking town and stuff. It looks very cool.
Well, a couple things on that. One, I guarantee you there's going to be Wii U ports, like games that, like, Smash Brothers. Possibly Splatoon that get ported over. All right.
Would they port Smash Brothers? Wouldn't they just make a new one?
No, I think they'd port it. I think because of how long it takes to make a new one, and we literally just got Smash Brothers last year or the year before that. Like, by the time the other one would be ready, it's like 2018, 2019.
So yeah, how long did it take for us to get Brawl from Melee?
It took 7 years. 2001 to 2008, and then 2008 to 2014.
Yeah, I mean, they don't ever seem, like, interested in that sort of thing. I would be very surprised if they were to port. They don't, Nintendo doesn't tend to do that.
It's been strongly rumored by people I would consider credible, at least, like, that they're going to do ports. And it kind of makes sense because of not a lot of people got to play Mario Kart 8. Like, yeah, there's people that did, but if you're going to sell this to a wider audience and help, you know, help fill out your year one schedule or whatever, like...
Yeah, it helped fill out the roster because, you know, that was the big problem with the 3DS and the Wii U is that they came out with games and you had, like, a six-month gap where there's nothing. Like, it doesn't really help if you've had a Wii U to get these games again, but it's something to fill in the library throughout the first year.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's sort of a cheap way of them getting around a weak launch lineup.
The other thing I had heard beforehand is that, like, this reveal was just going to be the NX reveal and that it wasn't going to be specific on software. So, like, that didn't surprise me. But, like, that's the only thing I'm interested in. Like, we already knew everything that they told us today, like, it was all confirmed things that we already knew.
Yeah.
Like, it was
confirmed outside of the name, like, everything was...
Yeah. And I mean, at least it's nice to see form factor and stuff, you know, just to see what it looks like and stuff. And if nothing else, this shows that Nintendo learned from their mistakes with the Wii U presentation, because this video spends 3.5 minutes beating you over the head with the concept that it can not only play games on a television, but that you can pick it up out of the station and then play it anywhere else.
And that's, like, almost all it says in 3.5 minutes. Yeah. We don't get a price. We don't the games. Like,
I think that was intentional, but it's also really weird because I figured with them holding out the reveal of this console so far that when they would actually reveal it, it would be, a big blowout. Like, you get all that stuff. Like, this is basically the traditional console reveal just condensed now. Like, we get here's the hardware, here's what it's due, and then later on we'll get the games, and then you get the price and the release date. Just condensed to 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine, because, I mean, Nintendo tends to do these, like, you know, I mean, this is about, we've been saying for how long that this is about as long as they could take. This is, you know, because the console comes out in 5 months.
Yeah, some March, right?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even get a specific release date on that, but, I mean, Vice has a good sort of wrap-up on the whole thing, sort of taking... statements from other places, you know, press releases and other sort of stuff that Nintendo put out at the same time. Because, like, this is actually the only console that I would ever care about knowing the specs of, because, like, what under the hood implies sort of how games will run on the television and then off the television. And according to NVIDIA, they designed a new Tegra processor chip to run the Nintendo Switch. So that's sort of been, like, their mobile chipset that works on, like, their Shield tablets and stuff. This is some new version designed specifically for this console.
So it's not the Tegra 2, which is the one that's just came out, I guess.
It says that they designed it specifically, so it could just be a modified version of that.
Because the Tegra 2 is actually pretty strong. I think it's the Tegra 2. Whatever their new one is, it's actually a very strong chip. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it just says Nintendo Switch is powered by the performance of the custom Tegra processor. The high efficiency scalable processor includes an NVIDIA GPU based on the same architecture as the world's top performing GeForce gaming graphics cards. So, you know, I mean, throughout the trailer, we saw two old games, two new games, and one third-party game that's 5 years old. So, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I think Nintendo's going to run, again, into the same problem they always do. Like, if it's underpowered, there's not going to be Red Dead 2 on the Switch, and that's a problem, I think.
I mean...
It's just going to be another Nintendo console. It's going to be the same thing they've done.
Yes, it's going to be that second console that you buy for the... But what does help is that if this means, because it's mobile, there's no 3DS successor, games like Fire Emblem, Pokemon, you know, Monster Hunter, really popular mobile franchises, will now be available on this one system, and they can consolidate their market share.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily, like, not all of them have to look mobile. Like, just the fact that all of Nintendo's creative efforts are behind one thing is going to mean, I think, more frequent releases at the very least. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you might get more, like, things that you would normally consider just a handheld game. Like, Pokemon, you're going to have to, right? Like, they're going to have to put it on there. So,
I think that's the most exciting thing right there is, for example, having, like, Monster Hunter, which is not a success for the Wii, but has for the 3DS, for example. So, give me my Monster Hunter. Doesn't need to be a big budget, but if, you know, I want, if you can provide something like that where it's like, okay, you have all these great Nintendo titles, because like for me, like the 3DS, I didn't enjoy it because it was uncomfortable to handle, and the Wii U just didn't have enough there.
Yeah.
I want to play the 3DS games, but I don't want to play in that fucking 3DS. So, I don't know. I guess I'm warming up to the Switch more as the day progresses. It's not going to be like day one for me like the Wii U was. They're going to have to kind of like show me that this is a different console. But
yeah. So what made you buy the Wii U on day one?
Well, it was exciting, you know. It was just like, you know, for me it was, I think, watching a quick look of Nintendo Land and being like, that looks pretty cool. Like, having people and someone has a gamepad, and then everyone else has the controllers. But, you know, the problem is that the Wii controllers are still really bad. They need to get away from that as soon as possible. And these small little dinky controllers, like, I can't imagine myself with, like, another grown-ass dude, like, hanging out, like, huddled up on this, like, 5-inch screen, like, with these, like, tiny Donald Trump size controllers and like seriously, like that's not happening. So like these little gimmicks, they don't work. And it was so weird, like seeing that commercial. There wasn't one footage. I don't know, I guess maybe they're trying to like, you know, bring in that demographic that they're missing out on, but there wasn't any like family like things happening. It was just like a bunch of really random shots that never happen in real life, like making it,
you never wave to your neighbor on the roof.
Yeah, like,
that was my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
but I mean, I could say the airport stuff seemed the most realistic.
Sure,
you're waiting in an airport, or you want to play on your flight, like that stuff. I was like, okay.
I see the back of the car van stuff being realistic, but more for kids, not adults.
Yeah,
like I could see parents putting their kids in the back seat on a road trip.
So I don't sit in the back seat of my car.
Right,
you're driving.
Yeah,
another thing that a lot of people noticed was that like there are no kids in this trailer.
Yeah,
like at all.
But I give them credit for that, because what everybody complained about their previous marketing was that it was always aimed towards kids.
Yes.
So if they're going to use the reveal to focus on other people, I'm sure kids and family are going to come. Like, it's Nintendo. You're going to have more casual titles and party titles at launch, and absolutely, that's what you're going to see with the little rinky-dink controller. That looks really tiny in your hand when it's on the side, but you'll see those games. This was more to get people who have ignored the Wii U or the Wii because of X, Y, and Z interested in this console. Because there's a lot they didn't show, and I assume that was the reason why.
Well, I mean, even in the design of the console, like, it's black, it's sleek, it doesn't look like it's a toy, you know? Like, it doesn't...
It looks like the screen itself, like, it kind of makes the Vita look obsolete, right? It looks like a nice, sleek, like bigger screen Vita, and Vita, you know, for what it's worth, like the hardware was really good, clean, looked everything. Like the gamepad kind of looked like the set, like it looked like a toy, like it looked like, here you go, kid, here's your fucking big ass, like clunky gamepad. Like this looks portable in the sense, like I can get like a pouch or something for it. I don't feel like a fucking dweeb, like, playing on this gamepad. I don't know.
It looks stylish. It looks like a nice piece of tech.
Yeah. And it doesn't look very big either. So, like, the portable thing, like, it almost looks like it's smaller or maybe roughly the same size of a Wii U gamepad, except maybe a little bit longer. That's kind of, I'm not sure. Just, like, judging by, like, what it looked like in people's hands.
It looked like the iPad Mini. Oh, maybe not that big, but I mean, it definitely.
Maybe if you took an iPad Mini and stretched it another inch.
Yeah, it definitely looks bigger than like an iPhone 6 Plus. It's not something you can just like put in your like pocket or something.
It kind of reminds me of like my son's Kindle, like whatever the Kindle Fire is, the small version.
Mm-hmm. But with like controllers on the side.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Or
yeah.
No controllers on the side.
What's that?
Or no controllers. It might have a touch screen, which I assume they're keeping around.
I hope not, because I think that blew up in their face with the Wii U, and that causes a lot of
I think they're going to have to keep the touch screen. I don't necessarily think it's going to become a part of the system. But if it's mobile and stuff like that, I imagine a big part of, and it has its cartridge space and not disk space. So a lot of their stuff has to be like streaming apps, and I assume that's much better for on the go than navigating with a controller.
Maybe. I didn't see anywhere for like a stylus. And see, the problem with touchscreens is that increases the price of the console, which is why the Wii U only had single touch instead of like I can touch it with both my thumbs at the same time.
Right, but I mean, like you figure, I mean, and going back to the Fire, like Amazon's selling the Fire HD. Is it Fire HD? They're selling whatever one I just bought my son was $50.
But that doesn't have a Tegra chip in it, and I think that that's gonna.
No, but I mean, like you're talking $50 for like the tablet itself, like you know, this is probably going to be a $250-$300 piece of tech. At least. So, yeah.
At least. Yeah, when we mentioned the controls before.
Wait, Chris, are you saying you think there will be touch support or no?
I think there will be touch support. Yeah.
I think if people see a screen now, they expect to be able to touch it.
Yes.
That they can't not do it, honestly.
I guess so. Yeah, we've been kind of trained to do that.
This isn't anything official because that would have to come from Nintendo. But somebody talking about the Tegra Parker, which is basically a modified X2 chip, it should be able to. It'll fall somewhere between the 1.3 teraflops of the Xbox One and the 1.8 of the PS4. So,
I mean, I think that was always the rumor, right? When the leak happened, maybe in August, there was like a leaked hardware breakdown that said it was in between the two.
Yeah. So if that's accurate, like, I mean, we won't know, and you know, until we get it, but that seems about right. So that should alleviate Jeff's fears that it's going to be. I mean, plus granted, there is that issue with Scorpio coming next year, and then the PS4 Pro is, you know, more powerful now. But
I think the only like saving grace of that is that the other two consoles aren't going away, and so games will still be developed with the low end in mind.
Right, so it should get those games at least until, you know, Sony and Microsoft, you know, go, hey, we're done with the original model of the Xbox One, we're done with the original model of the PS4, you now either need a Pro or Scorpio. Yeah. But I don't see that happening in the next year or so.
At least, especially if like the Pro fails, because their marketing on that is not going super well for them. Like, I mean, at some point they may just cut off and force everyone to buy that version, but that would take quite a while as well.
Is there anything else here? Like, I'm trying to see if there was anything.
So in the trailer, the only couple of things that I noticed were there's a Pro style controller that connects wirelessly.
Yes, that was nice. That
yeah. It looks like a giant, or like a.
It looks like
a beefier GameCube controller.
Well, but with like the layout of like an Xbox One controller.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean the one with the weird slot in between?
No. That's the modular base one, but I mean like the one that you saw like the Splatoon sports dudes.
That kind of like struck me as like an Xbox One controller, you know, with the offset analog sticks and.
I think that's supposed to be like their C stick, because the modular ones have analog sticks and stuff.
Right.
So, it looks like they can connect wirelessly to one another, because we saw the guys playing NBA yes. multiplayer on two separate ones.
That does not seem like the ideal way to play that game.
No. Oh, playing it in the first place is not the ideal way to play that game, but especially last year's version.
I get what they're trying to go for. It's just odd to highlight a game like that. Like, right. I feel like that's when you put up Mario Party or something. That you can do with one controller, no problem.
I do wonder if they put that in there like that to be like, hey, you know, we're gonna have NBA, we're gonna have these big games. Like put in another Nintendo game, which I mean, granted, I think we would all be fine with, but you're trying to sell it to people that are, you know, hey, third party hasn't been very supportive recently, so.
Yeah, and I think they picked two, you know, games to highlight that with Skyrim, which, you know, but that hasn't really supported Nintendo ever. And, you know, like, sports games literally died off within, like, the first 5 months of the Wii's release. So it made sense to kind of focus on those type of titles.
It was EA announced as a developer for this?
Yeah, so that was the other thing that wasn't a part of the trailer, but they gave a what they refer to as a sampling of Nintendo Switch partners, which includes almost everyone you would imagine from like Activision, Atlas, Bandai Namco, which Bethesda, Capcom, EA. From Software is the only interesting name on this list that like you don't necessarily expect, because they, I mean, I don't know if that means like, hey, we're gonna port Dark Souls 3 to this at some point or whatever their
probably
next game is. Grasshopper, Square Enix, Sega, THQ Nordic, Ubisoft, you know, the usual players and stuff. But it was funny because Bethesda, or they showed Skyrim, but then Bethesda came out and was like, hey, just because we showed it on the console doesn't mean we're actually releasing a Switch version. And we were just showing that, hey, we will be supporting the console in the future. And that reminds me of like when they released trailers for the Vita. And the Vita was playing like Metal Gear Solid 4 and Fallout 3, and then those games never came out for that console.
But it also seems like it's a case of Nintendo just not having any third parties talk about what games they're bringing to the system yet. So I think IGN had an article where they spoke to all the third parties, and they all pretty much said the same thing. We're interested in the system. We'll talk about the games that are at a date.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to talk about anything yet either.
Which
is an
odd decision, but.
I mean, those who have already announced games have talked about, like, Ubisoft will have, you know, what is their new Just Dance game called?
Their new what?
The new Just Dance game. It has a new name.
2017.
2017, is that it? Okay. That's coming out for it. There's the new, there's Sonic 3, it's, Sonic Blast Generation. What is the new Sonic game? I don't remember that either.
It's kind of crazy. It
doesn't matter.
It's kind of crazy that they're getting all this support when like everyone abandoned them during like the Wii and Wii U era, and so
this is the same thing as the Wii U era.
They
went into it saying, "Oh, we're gonna have third party support." EA and Ubisoft and people put out.
That's
games.
The thing is like, who's going to buy 2K17 or 18 or whatever on the Switch when you can buy it and play it?
Well, if you can take your franchise on the go.
Right, but at the same time, you're playing with friends, right? So are all your friends going to get a Nintendo Switch? Like, look at the, you know, you have to think about who's buying these games. So,
for sure.
Like, yeah, the single-player experiences are going to be there. And for me personally, like, I'm not someone that's on the go a lot. Like, I drive to work, and then I'm working, and I don't fly a lot. Or, you know, when I do, I'm usually on my laptop or something, or just listening to music. So, you know, I'm worried because, like, maybe they're there for a year, and then maybe they're like, all right, I'm out. So, like, you have to look at, like, the exclusives, you know?
Those are the exclusives for the safe bet.
That's the tried and true.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this list of partners is roughly the exact same list of partners that they put up when the Wii U was announced.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's roughly about twice as many, but even then, like you said, I think, you know, there's a lot of brands that just aren't associated with Nintendo. Your Call of Duty, your Battlefield, like those games, it's been, 15 years of Microsoft and Sony kind of hammering in, those are our brands. So it's a lot to overcome, but I do think that there is an opportunity for certain games, depending on, they'll try to get the market, and it doesn't help them not to try. Like, I know people are going to say who would buy it there, but they have to try or they're never going to get that audience ever.
Yeah. I wonder, like, if this fails, what happens to them?
I mean, look, I look at what they showed in that trailer, and they showed Skyrim, and if that's your sign of third-party support to come, it's a repeat. It's going to be the same thing again.
Because, I mean, what did we get on the launch of the Wii U? We got Mass Effect 2 and Batman Arkham Knight, games that had come out the year before. Darksiders 2 and Aliens Colonial Marines and, like, those are the four that I remember. Metro 2033.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm positive about. Like, and I don't care about. I'm like Fozzie. I don't care about any of sort of the innovative part of this. Where like, oh, I get to get on the go because I don't intend to do that. Really, I'm more. The thing that gets me more excited than anything is that all of Nintendo is behind it. So they might be able to actually support
it. Consolidated.
Yeah. So instead of getting one or two big releases a year, you might get four or five, you know, like where it's really actually worth it, you know. So,
well, right, because like, you know, they were split between having, you know, a DS games come out and Wii U games. So now if everything is one platform, you should get more exclusives on a more consistent basis from Nintendo's teams.
What would be really cool is if this could actually play 3DS games on the offset. Like, because it's cartridge-based, right? So if it had a mode in there where, like, if you wanted to, you could just plug in any of your 3DS games and stuff. Maybe they wouldn't...
That would be wild.
They could maybe translate well to the TV because they look blown up and stuff. But in the handheld mode...
Right.
I'm just thinking about, like, you know, Pokemon is coming out in November, and that's probably the last... If this is the hybrid console that we all believe it to be, the last big 3DS title, I have a feeling they're probably kicking themselves like, man, if we had just waited a little bit longer, this could be coming out on this thing, and then we would have like a banger of a launch title. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much everything.
You figure whatever Pokemon remake they're going to have for next year.
The thing. Are we going to start remaking DS games now? Because that's where we're at.
It's possible. I mean,
Diamond and Pearl remakes. I never played those, so maybe skip those.
Who knows? So we're really light on information, but there's a pretty cool 3-minute trailer. So,
yeah, I mean, we managed to what was it? We started at 11 o'clock. Half an hour. It's not bad.
More on the technical side of the reveal, it's kind of vague, but I do prefer the fact that they at least were kind enough to respect my time and just give me 3 minutes instead of like a 2-hour press conference breaking down all the specs I don't really care about.
And right. Nintendo doesn't care about them either. Like, the only spec that I care about is battery life.
That's something I need to know. Like,
and can I charge it externally outside of the docking station?
Yes. Both of those are super important. I'm probably going to get it regardless, but...
Yes, but I mean, how well that console winds up working out for them will depend on those things.
I imagine they have to have you dock it outside of this, because you're not going to walk around with the controller and a dock everywhere you go.
I would hope so, but this is Nintendo we're talking about. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, hey, their solution is that... You just have, like, you pack when you go on a trip, you just pack the docking station with you and you just charge your thing and use that on the plane. And then when you get to your hotel, you plug it into the docking station.
Well, the strategy would be that the dock would be what comes into the box. You have to buy a charger separately, but they'll offer a charger. Too.
Yeah. It does have a kickstand, which is really cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was neat. You kind of have a portable screen. Yeah. For a lot of people, it will. But that thing that they did with the guy on the plane where he kind of like took out the tray and then he just hit the kickstand and made his he was playing with two hands, wasn't he? It wasn't like, connected.
Like nunchuck and Wiimote.
It was still which I don't know that that's somebody in coach comfortable, but
I mean I think like I fly a lot. I fly a lot more than I really should, but you know, something like that could be fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be out of school fingers crossed by the time it comes out, but I could see it being useful for college students if you want, if you have like a bunch of time in between classes and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it's different for me being in New York City. I commute on the train every day. So having something to do for an hour, like that's great for me to catch up on gaming.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, makes me wonder how Japan will take to it in those regards too.
And like, I would love to be able to just like, you know, I have an hour or so to burn every couple of days before I get to work. And it's like, I would love to be able to just, you know, run a couple missions in Mafia 3 or, you know.
No, you wouldn't.
I would though, like get like anything, like, you know, run a couple levels of Resident Evil or you know, play like a horde match of Gears while I'm, you know, away from my television. If I could do that, that would be awesome. Like to have, and then just be able to go home and continue right there.
What I am curious about, since this is a lot more mobile than the Wii U is like how many mobile games are we actually going to get? Like, I can see if it runs like if it's running on Tegra, like a lot of those Shield games can be ported over.
Yeah,
and they're not very space heavy because they run on devices that don't have big space anyhow.
Right.
So yeah, I can see a lot of those games being ported over, especially if it's a multi-touch screen.
Yeah, my only hope is that this doesn't just become a dumping ground for that sort of stuff and that Nintendo, like, this is the console where you buy it for Nintendo consoles and games that came out 2 years ago. Like, that's my fear, because that's kind of what the Wii U turned into. So, you know. My hope is that, like, maybe in a month, like, one would assume that they open pre-orders right near Black Friday, that maybe there's another Direct that has something of a launch lineup and is more in-depth. And stuff, because, I mean, frankly, I'm surprised we didn't get a Direct. This is actually sort of, this 3-minute concept trailer was kind of outside their wheelhouse. They tend to just be like, we're going to sit down and, you know, Reggie's going to yell at you for an hour about what this console does.
Yeah, in terms of movies, this is kind of like the teaser trailer. This is like, oh, we're going to show you some stuff, but we're not going to reveal anything. You'll wait for the next trailer in 5 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And then we'll have the big trailer like 2 months before the movie's out.
Yeah. And that's what I hope. My hope is that there will be a bigger thing that's like price and some games and maybe a look at the OS itself, because we didn't get any of that. You know, sort of what the system level stuff looks like. Maybe online functionality as well. Maybe, you know, what kind of stuff that is. Are we using friend codes and stuff? Are we, you know, what exactly are...
Well, I assume that was the point of introducing My Nintendo and all that other Nintendo.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And tying everything to your user account instead of just the device itself, so...
Yeah, I mean, lots of questions, but, you know, some answers to questions we kind of knew the answers to already, but it's nice to know that we were right all along.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's exciting. I'm excited that there's a new Nintendo console coming.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I guess lastly, because we were talking about this break before we started, is the name. And Chris, you hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it. I understand.
I'm curious why.
It's just... I don't know. It just doesn't, like... It rubs me the wrong way. I understand what it is. Like, I understand why they call it that, and like you can switch between your television and on the go. It just seems it's dumb.
It's a little too kinky for you.
I think it's because it's right on the nose. It's like, okay, it switches. That's it. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, I mean, but with, like, so was the GameCube. So was the Nintendo 64. Like.
Well, the game,
they're not necessarily strangers to literally just naming the console what it is.
I mean, it is true. You had the DS.
Yeah.
But at least, I mean, they sounded different. Like, Switch is just, it's a word. The GameCube wasn't a word before it happened.
Right. No, it was two words.
Yeah, yeah, I think, but it wasn't that game. I think it's fine. I think it's going to, within months, it's just going to be in your head. It's like, that's what it is. It's a Switch.
Yeah,
like, it's, I mean, easy to remember. Like, there's, I don't know.
It's simple, it's concise, and there's no way you're going to think it's a docking station for your Wii U.
Yeah,
I'm just going to call it the Nintendo.
I think that's what they were trying to go for. They were making sure they didn't repeat any of the Wii U's mistake. It has a name that's very different than anything they've done. They put Nintendo back on, which I don't think they've done since the N64. You know, they had a reveal that focuses just on the concept level of this is a control you can take anywhere with you.
Yep.
And nothing else. So it's like, we're not going to have any confusion. Everybody knows this is a new system. It has a name. That doesn't mean it's an add-on to our previous system.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the Nintendo Switch. What have you guys been playing?
VR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hefe's on that VR, Bo.
You've been playing the PSVR there, Fozzie?
Well, I didn't buy it. Hobby got it, and I played it with at his place for a bit. I haven't had the same issues that Hefe was having, though, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, we can get into that. I've been having major...
And Jeff's issues seem pretty widespread, too.
That's true. You know, I was having those issues with the Vive, and I literally turned it in, and I got a new one. And I haven't issued with this second one so far at all. So,
I might have to.
So what are the issues?
Take care of that.
Yeah, to clarify, Jeff, you want to recap exactly what your issues are?
All right, first off, I love it, but there is one major issue that I've experienced with the one I have. It is widespread. I don't know if it's hardware, software, but anyways. The center of vision drifts off to the left or the right instead of like. So essentially, after you're playing a game for 5 to 10 minutes, you have to be turning your head like almost all the way to the left to be looking forward. All right, and so everything's just off. And like, there's like they say you can hold down the options button on your PlayStation controller to reset it, and like that does not fix the problem.
No.
It fixes it if you're on the PS4 home menu, like the dashboard, right? Like, so that's the thing that I don't get. It works there perfectly fine, right? If I'm playing a game and it becomes off center, I could turn the power off to the headset, like on the little volume adjuster thingy. I could turn the power off to the whole headset and turn it back on, and it fixes it 100%. So I'm like, what is going wrong? Where after a minute or two, it's just doing this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. It's like to the point where I want to return it, but like, I don't because I love the VR. So I'm like, I mean, hopefully I can return it and get another one that works, but like, that's a whole other hassle. And I'm just, I don't have to think yet. But yeah, anyways.
Well, there you go.
All right.
VR.
But Fozzie, you've not been having those experiences.
No, but I only played a little bit. First off, just between like the Vive and the PS VR, the VR for the PlayStation is super light. It is like insanely light. That kind of freaked me out at first. I was like, "What is going on here?" And so, I don't know. I wasn't having any issues. I like some of the games. They're definitely more friendly to... It almost feels like you're getting like the PC experience with the Vive, and then you're getting the console experience with the PSVR, which makes sense. Definitely there's games there that are kind of more catered to a general audience. And I feel like there's some variety. It's definitely the biggest lineup, just because they're kind of the last to get into the game, so... there's a pretty good amount there.
Did you try Rush of Blood, Fozzie?
Yeah, it was scary as fuck. I did not like that.
I think that honestly might be my favorite one, dude. Like, that game is really fun. Like, I think it was underrated. Fun, but
it's like it's so much like jump scare like bullshit. I hate that.
Have either of you tried the Resident Evil demo in VR?
Yeah, that one's kind of freaky too.
In the same way or a different way?
Yeah. I kind of wish I didn't watch it before I played it because I kind of knew like what was happening. But even that, like, it's creepy when you hear like things behind you and then you turn around and there's nothing there. It messes with your head pretty badly.
And then you turn back forward and someone pops out like is waiting for you.
Yeah. I mean, like, for horror, like VR is like one of that's gonna be one of the like best genres that are going to like implement it, because there's so many good ways besides just jump scares where like you can really fuck with someone really bad.
I hope is that it evolves beyond it just like, doesn't sink into just like the jump scare stuff, and then it's like it's like Resident Evil is a good thing, but like Resident Evil's also on both systems. Like my hope is that we get more Resident Evil and less like jump scary things, just because like, hey, if we just throw something in your face, then you know, it'll scare you, you know, boom.
No. Yeah, I definitely think that there could be like other things, like a game like Descent, like Amnesia would be pretty good, I think. And games where you don't have a weapon or something, you're just trying to like run away. It's exciting. I'm not a huge horror guy, but for some reason I don't mind horror in my video games, maybe because I have more control of it, as opposed to like a horror movie where like you sat down, you have to watch it. But yeah, Russia Brothers was pretty good. You know, all things considered.
It's not all just jump scares in Russia Blood either. Like, I just beat the game earlier tonight, and there's like this final boss part where you're like on this roller coaster going over lava, and there's this giant ass fucking dude coming out of lava who towers up like 50 stories above you, and like that is just insane. It's just a spectacle where you're like, wow, dude, that's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah,
seeing that in VR is just nuts. Like, then, like, that game is obsessed with like showing you the tricks that they can do to you in VR. Like, it's just, it's a fun rail shooter. It's like well designed.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like, I'm super impressed by it.
You know, the only thing I'll say for PlayStation is that the PlayStation VR really needs to kind of stick with like their art style, like finding a good art style, because you're not going to get realism in that game or in that console, because it has to be 90 frames a second. So when you look for like realism, then it looks to start. It kind of looks shitty. It looks like PS2, PS3 graphics. So, you know, like a game like Hyper Drift Cube, right? Like that game is like made for it. It has a or Thumper. Like I played that Thumper game, and it's so cool because like all these things are flying around you. Like it makes good use of the VR. You know, you get kind of like huge, like depth of field, and you're like, "Holy fuck! Like this is it's massive in here, and it's super fun." And so, you know, people are worried about the VR being that, like, well, there's not really any good, like, any like killer games out there. But I think I know what I'm getting in VR, which is like I'm getting something that I might play a couple times a week for like an hour, and I'm okay with that. I'm not going to spend 8 hours in a VR headset, no matter how good the story is, no matter what that is. I mean, it's
a supplement as opposed to a first
exactly. It's not going to be my only console. Like at the end of the day, I do want to sit down and play video games on TV, but it's cool. You can, and to me, video games aren't even the thing I'm most excited about VR. It's live action sports or like concerts, things like that. Like that seems really cool too. Hopefully I'm sure they will, but you know, being able to like tour Italy, right? Like at your own home, like that. That seems great. Like, I'm all about that.
But for average people, is that worth $400-$500?
Might not be. It may not be. I think like they said that like AR, you know, the augmented reality, there's a much bigger market for that, which makes sense. First off, people don't like kind of being like in this non, you know, realistic world. Like they don't. I don't know if that's going to catch on, but I don't know. It's hard to say. It's so new.
I think the experience is like, it still impresses me almost every time I play it. Like
I do.
And I don't know. There's something like, really to it. Like, and it's, I'm just like you, Fozzie, where it's like, obviously this is going to replace anything, but like honestly, for like a half hour every night, I at least fuck around with it because it's just, it's so cool, dude. It's a trip, you know?
It's great. And I am worried that like people are like, yeah, this is like Wii Sports where it's like, you know, everyone came over, y'all played Wii Bowling, and for the first couple months, it was great, and you could get by with all these like tech demo games. There's something different about this. I don't know, especially with the vibe, like being able to like walk around, and I'm lucky enough to have like a space that I can walk around in where it's set up. So,
but isn't that what you're describing though? What you're saying that you're not going to pay for more than an hour a day. That's essentially the same thing as going home and paying Wii Sports.
That's what you do. That's what. Well, dude, I mean, I'm lucky if I play an hour of any game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not at a point where I play like 8 hour game, like unless it's like Uncharted or like a completely immersive like single player experience. Okay. I don't usually do that nowadays. Anyways, I play FIFA.
I get that, but what you're describing sounds like a novelty. It's like, oh, this is cool to do like once a day for a bit, and then be gone with it.
I think it's a novelty for now, but I think that if they, I mean, you know. Think about like the Pong days, you know. I mean, like Pong was a novelty. Who's going to spend like 40 hours? You know, there were some people that did that, but after
right now it is a novelty until there's more software that expands it. So
and it's Pong days essentially. You know,
it's a chicken and egg scenario because people aren't going to support it if there's not a huge base for it, and people aren't going to buy it if there's not games worth getting for it.
Right.
I think if people try it, they will want it.
Well, I get that, but it's not. VR has been pretty much here since this entire year, and we're still kind of in a point where nobody's really backing it heavily.
I just, again, it's a very niche market. I don't expect to be mainstream because first off, it's not something you can play with friends. Like it's kind of like something where. But that's the thing is like
it is fun to watch your friends play it though.
Yeah, exactly. So. You know, there is a huge kind of, price point that you have to get over, that hurdle.
Yeah, but right now I'm not there with it yet. Like,
I don't blame you.
I can't see myself jumping at it just yet.
I still haven't found out if it makes me sick or not.
Exactly. Like, some people don't even know that. Like, that would suck if you bought $800 and you can't play this thing, literally.
I honestly think that it'll get most people sick at first, but like I think you get more and more used to it from doing it.
Yeah, but I don't think most people are going to say, it made me sick. I'm going to try it again until I get used to it. I think they're going to say, I got sick. I'm done with it.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a possibility. But even I, who like I don't get motion sick, like I didn't puke or anything, but I just felt like a little woozy the first couple times I used it afterwards. So
it's going to be interesting to watch. You know how it does from here on through the next year or so, because if one of these is going to succeed, it's going to be PSVR.
Well, I think I mean to Fozzie's point, if any of them succeed, I think it's going to be stuff like the Gear VR, the stuff that you can get for cheap that hooks up to your smartphone that allows you to tour Venice or whatever for like $100.
Right. Yeah, and maybe it is the non-gaming functionality of something like Gear VR or even the Oculus or the Vive that is actually going to be like the big selling point of VR. Who knows if it's the game application side that's going to be the big piece.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I see potential in it for really, really interesting games.
Sure. Just... I'm sure there will be potential, and I'm sure that there will be cool games that come out of it. But I do think that it probably is stuff like what Earl's saying, like where you're exploring, like, you know, a exotic locale.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Like, as you were saying, events, like being able to like go to a concert or something, it'd be pretty cool in that.
Right. So we will definitely see. You guys play anything else recently?
I bought and then refunded Mafia 3.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Nah, it's not because I don't like it. It's because I bought it on PC and it runs like shit on my machine. So, yeah. But from what everyone's been saying, it seems like that game maybe should not have been open world. Because everything that I have heard is that the story is amazing, and the missions are boring.
The missions are...
There's like three different types of missions. That's it.
It's Assassin's Creed 1 all over again.
The missions are basically like... Dude, it's basically like side missions. So like, you take like a good game like GTA or something and just side missions over and over, like the random shit that you could do a billion times. That's the whole game.
Yeah, it's like, go here. So there's like basically like two or three different types. It's go here, kill everybody. Go here, kill everybody and steal this thing and then deliver it someplace else. Or go here and kill the main guy.
Yeah.
To get the area.
Also destroy some shit.
Right. Like,
I'm really hoping that game
take money.
Yeah. Dude, that game is like the biggest letdown in forever. Like, well, since at least June when we got No Man's Sky.
Wait, that was August.
Those are two very, very different situations.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like, oh my god, if that game falls off, like, it's so great for like 2 hours, and then
the first 2 hours are fantastic. It's very directed in those 2 hours.
And then
I'm still enjoying
it. Nothing, dude. I can't.
The Mafia games have had problems, man. They don't seem to know what they want.
I find it easy enough to jump in for an hour and, you know, run a couple of the missions and then back out and just forget about it.
Yeah. But no, I haven't been playing
doing that when you got Battlefield and Titanfall and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that game, you're gonna fall out of that game. Guarantee
I don't think I'll be playing anything new until Dishonored comes out. I think I'm kind of just gonna stick with what I've got right now. Because I'm also poor as shit, so.
That's understandable.
Yep.
Erlen, I played some Gears.
Co-op campaign?
We played Horde with Tony and Walt. Nice. We made it to level 40, I think.
Yeah, wave 40.
How many are there?
50. 50 waves.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I would rather have lost it like 25 than 40.
It was using, but it was like 1 a.m. when we were done. We're like, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, we started at like 10 and we ran for 3 hours, and it was we had actually burned through all of our power, so we had nothing left to buy fortifications with, and we were at wave 40. I think it's starting at wave like 31. The enemies have double health, double damage, and double accuracy.
And wave 40, every 10 wave is a boss wave.
Yeah, so
you had nothing, it's a boss wave. You're pretty much screwed anyhow.
Yeah.
So there was no coming back from that. And I do think that's one of the – I mean, I think since then we've all kind of figured out like some of the strategies. Like I think the classes that they've introduced with this where people have different roles instead of everybody just kind of being – I was an engineer, so my job, technically speaking, was to repair stuff. That did not happen too often until the end when we actually started having the man turrets and needed somebody to actually replenish the ammo.
Yeah. Well, and it took us a while to even figure out to
get
to that point. Like that, hey, we should, instead of like buying the auto turrets, we should be buying these man turrets that are just a little bit more expensive, but they do way more damage.
And you get to control them. Because the automatic ones have a range, and they'll you shoot when they have to shoot. But yeah, and I mean, it was a weird game because we started with a random, and the random set up the I forget what the device fabricator.
Yeah,
he set it up in some random place. It's like halfway through the game, we decided to change everything, so half of our defenses is set up somewhere, and we have to get rid of all of that because we're not going to paint up. So yeah, we. Next time we'll have a strategy. We'll understand what we're doing, but it's great fun. Gears of War. I mean, it's Gears of War.
Right.
I'm not too keen on the new enemy type, but
the which ones? The robots or
the robots, and especially the little ball one.
Yeah. The robots are annoying.
Yeah. They're annoying, and they gave them dialogue that is so redundant.
Yeah. It's like the same like. Canned responses over and over again.
Yeah.
I do like the swarm, which are basically just a locust, but
Evolve.
So how much like Halo 4 is this in terms of just like, man, this is a Halo-ass Halo game?
Oh, this is very much a Gears of War,
Gears of War game. Like, it's like, I mean, it's if you are a fan of Gears of War, it is what you wanted out of Gears of War 4. At least in my opinion, like as somebody who really liked, you know, all the other Gears games, even Judgment, this is what I wanted out of Gears of War 4.
I was so happy though, because at the beginning, you play with different sets of characters, and they had normal clothes on. I'm like, okay, we're gonna have normal proportioned people in this game. And like near the end of the first chapter, the first act, they're like, oh no, we're gonna give you that broken armor again.
Get the cog armor on, and Del, JD, and Kate all get armor. I finished the campaign. Jeff, did you finish it?
I did. Yeah.
I had fun with it. It was a good time.
I liked that it had some like pretty cool bosses near the end, but I don't know. I got blown away by their campaigns, honestly. I don't know.
I prefer it mostly for the co-op stuff. I was curious though. Like, what did you think of the weather stuff they added, like the windstorms and the random thunder?
So
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's shooting pretty cool. But I don't know. I think in the fifth act, like you don't see any of that at all. Like there's no weather effects at all. Like, in that final act, which is kind of a shame because it is pretty cool. And like being able to use the environment and the wind to take out enemies ahead of you is really, it changes the way, you know, the standard shooting takes place. Also, like you can't just throw a grenade straight because the wind will take it with it. And I thought the weather stuff was really cool.
I hate the wind. I wasn't too keen on the thunder.
Oh, the lightning is annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like kind of shoot down.
Yeah. Not only do you have to avoid it when it shoots down, but they have paths, and then even when they dissipate, they still have like a radius they can damage you in.
Yeah, which is very similar to the shock grenade that they've introduced, which kind of like throws like a electrified area down, which is very much like the lightning that comes down in the weather areas. There's some really cool moments in that game. So, when you meet up with some old characters, it's pretty cool. And as somebody who is a fan of the game and kind of like, you know, I've read the novelizations of things that take place outside of the games, the ending is really, really cool.
Interesting. You're the first person to say anything good about the ending of that game.
It ends. It just kind of ends, right? Like just like there's going to be more of these, but the implications of what the final shot is before the credits roll it's really cool as somebody who's like following.
Is there an after credit scene?
There is an after credit scene. It's like a jokey little scene of a different character. So
gotcha.
Okay. Another question. I guess I can answer this too. Do you think they did a better job of taking over Gears of War than over Halo? Because this is the first non-Epic game, and Halo 4 was the first non-Bungie Halo.
Well, no, I mean, no. Judgment was what People Can Fly, right?
Well, that was still Epic.
Nobody counts that.
But People Can Fly was still Epic. So,
all right. I mean, even at that point, people were like, "Please God, just get it away from them."
Well, remember, Judgment came out 18 months after Gears 3, so
talk about overload.
Yeah, it was kind of dumped out really quickly, and I think that's a fine game, but it's not, you know, a numbered Gears. It's more of a side story. I don't know. I really like Halo 4. I played a lot of Halo 4, but I think Gears 4 is probably a better like we're going to continue this thing, because 343 seemed to, you know, they were, they did some things that they evolved from Reach, and maybe not in the right way. And then they've toned some of that back, like when Halo 5 came out. And I think with Halo 5, 343 finally got their feet like right and in the right direction. Gears 4 from the go is like this feels like the next proper Gears game. So
cool.
And who is this now? I forget the
Coalition.
Yep. They're up in
Vancouver. Vancouver. Yeah, they were originally Black Tusk.
Which is a much cooler name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever.
I mean, I understand why they went with the Coalition. It kind of ties into the COG, which was the Coalition of Ordered Governments.
So, like, I wonder how much – I mean, I guess, you know, the game's a big success, but they were working on something original before they were sort of given this property. But now they are just the Gears
– they're the Gears team, yes.
Forever.
I mean, that's pretty much what Microsoft has done with their first-party studios now. It's like,
I would kill myself.
I mean, I mean, you probably have a bunch of like overhead in that sort of thing, where like people will get burned out on that, and you know, Rod Ferguson will be the only person who stays there forever until the Gears series is over. But,
you have people like that, and like you're going to attract people that are huge fans of Gears and want to work on Gears. Like that's same with Halo. Like you're attracting people that like they love Halo, they want to work on Halo. They're going to bring their best work to the series at that point. You know what you're doing going in to work for the Coalition or 343 at this point.
Like, it seems like a good place to get your start in the industry and then move on to something more creative.
Right.
Because, those games are going to be about as by the numbers as you can get.
Halo 5 changed up some things pretty drastically.
And people did not like that.
Except it has the best the best retention of a Halo community in years.
I guess they fixed the multiplayer, right? Which like 4 had a huge problem with, because 4 kind of dropped off after like what, 6 months?
It was
kind of gone.
And then they fragmented their user base with you know the DLC and stuff. So
right.
that was something that 343 and also the Coalition is doing, where you know, all the multiplayer maps are free.
Yeah, that's a smart way to go for that.
So you never fragment your user base doing it that way. So,
all right, cool.
We'll see. It's quite a fun game. I'm gonna play a whole lot more of it, and I'm gonna learn to play the heavy so that we
I want to play Horde with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to play some more Horde.
Because we could have used a fifth that was competent the other night. Having that random was that was rough. Especially since
it could have been worse than me. Come on.
No, but at least like
we could have played in a while. So
at least we could have communicated with you. Like it was hard. We were all in, you know, the four of us in party chat, and we're talking to each other, but we don't have him with us, and he's buying stuff out of the fabricator. Uh-huh. Spending our credits, and it's like,
yeah, when you're trying to save for something, at one point we were trying to save for something, we turned around and capped him when he's gone.
Yeah, we were trying to save for a turret, and he burned it on a weapons locker. Like, what are you doing? We haven't been picking up weapons the entire time.
Like, he's probably just going and spending whatever he has. Like, oh yeah, I can buy this.
Right. I would have preferred if he had just bought power weapons from the locker, like buy a boom shot or something, because you at least would have been effective. You spending $6,000 of our power on a weapons locker that none of us are picking up weapons in the field. So, but whatever. Yeah, that was frustrating. And I've played some Battlefield 1. That game is really, really, really good. I played the campaign. I played the first war story, which is all that's available. Actually, I guess it is fully available now, but it was all that was available in the EA Access thing. It was like 6 or 7 levels in that story. And it's really cool. Like you you start out in a tank and you do like some tank stuff, and then your tank kind of gets disabled. Well, actually, you're going through a forest in the fog, so you have to get out and guide your tank and take out. So you're doing some stealth kills, and then your tank gets blown up. So you need to go get stuff to repair it in the town ahead. Like, it's really, really well done. And it's probably the best campaign DICE has done since Bad Company 2. So
nice.
Damn. I'm really excited.
Yeah. I'm hoping the other four war stories are just as good, but that one was really, really good. And the multiplayer is great.
I kind of want to play Infinite Warfare 2. I don't know why, but I just, I don't know. It looks pretty fun.
I'm getting both.
Yeah, normally I would do one or the other, and I'm kind of gearing more towards Battlefield 1. But you said with EA Access I get 10 hours, right?
You can get 10 hours, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to put this out there. I'm not hearing good things about Infinite Warfare's multiplayer.
Or its campaign.
I haven't heard anything about the campaign, so is that also not shaping up well?
I would perhaps take these as a grain of salt, but it's just sort of like, hey, yeah, it's a Call of Duty ass Call of Duty campaign, and it, like, even though it's in space, it's still as paid by numbers as you can get.
Yeah, I like the set pieces though. Sometimes they're pretty good, but fair.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Advanced Warfare's campaign, and Black Ops 3's campaign was okay.
So my 10 hours, should I do single player or should I do a little mixture of both?
So the 10 hours with EA Access will only give you the first two war stories, and that'll only take you maybe an hour or two.
Okay, and then the rest is just multiplayer. It's
multiplayer, yeah.
Also, it's broken up by war stories, huh?
Yeah, so it's not just like one continuous campaign. It's
I love it.
Oh my god, I'm excited.
Different campaigns that they touch on different aspects of the world, so, and they're telling, like, you know, individual personal stories as opposed to like, oh, it's this guy who's gonna, you know, save the world at the end. No, like we're touching on World War One here, and it plays a lot into the, like, direness of that war. So
yeah, World War One was really rough.
I'm looking forward to playing a whole lot more of that. You guys play anything else before we allow Pete to shoot the news here?
Nah.
Nope. All right, Pete, what do you got for us?
I really got two stories here.
All right.
One is Red Dead Redemption 2, right? I mean, starting around Monday, we got a logo Tuesday we got a logo. Wednesday we got five dudes in a field all looking like outlawish and stuff. And then Thursday, it did start Monday. I'm sorry, today was the trailer. But yeah, anyways, and then day three was, hey, Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer Thursday, and then today was the trailer, and it was, I mean, a Rockstar trailer, I guess, but I feel it was like the least exciting thing they could have done for a game like this. Like,
yeah, I'd have to say Rockstar can cut some good choices. That was not a Rockstar choice.
Go so, back, yeah.
You need to, on Twitter, some people have been setting it to Pony, which, and it's at least worth watching then, but. Yeah, I mean, I was debating with a couple of people about why this trailer was uninteresting, and I think, like, compared to GTA 5's, because at least in GTA 5, the city that they set it in doesn't exist, like, in the real world. It's a new city with, you know, its own culture and environments and stuff. It's something that Rockstar creates, yes, in the image of a real-life city, but it's still different. So an environmental trailer is interesting because it might show you some of the gameplay. This is just like, well, it's more of the Old West. There's buffalo. There are trees. There are mountains. There's a general store. Buildings made of wood and a dude riding a horse with a gun.
Yeah, it looked really pretty, like, graphically, though. Like, it looked great. But, like, look at a lot of their other launch, like, the reveal trailers. Like, look at, like, GTA 4, etc. Like, those are awesome. Like, this just had not much of anything.
Yeah, the hype for this trailer was much greater than the payoff, I think,
yeah.
In this.
I'm happy I did not get hyped for it. Like, I'm excited that they're making the game, but I just did not get hyped about this whole reveal. I'm like, we knew it was coming. And I guess I didn't know what to expect from the trailer, but a teaser does not surprise me.
Like, well, I don't know, some context maybe or something. Like, I mean, there's literally maybe half a scene of story.
Yeah, you have no real grip on what's going on at all.
Yeah, the most interesting thing would have been the shot at the end with the like, I think it's like seven guys riding on the horses. Like, if that's going to be the focus, they should have had more on that instead of like, oh, there's guys walking around staring at buffaloes and horses. This is not exciting at all. It's pretty, but it's not. It's no focus. There's no story. There's no gameplay. It's just kind of people walking.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, the only interesting note is that, you know, fall 2017 is their supposed release date. And then...
I think I don't really trust them with that.
Well, it depends. I mean, the game has been out for... Or not out, I'm sorry. The game, it's been six... Was it 2010 since Red Dead Redemption? This is Rockstar North, I believe. And they've been working on it since then. It's possible that a year is enough. Maybe. And then there's, and at the moment, no PC version announced. And I just assume they're going to do exactly what they did with GTA 5 and just release like a definitive version and stuff. Hey, here's first person mode again, and whatever other kind of things we're going to throw in to make the PC version worthwhile, besides the fact that you can just mob the shit out of it.
Oh yeah, and they also announced that Sony has marketing rights for this?
That makes sense. Because I think there was a lot of rumors going around in E3 that Rockstar was supposed to... Everyone thought that Red Dead Redemption 2 was supposed to show up at Sony's conference for some reason, and maybe that has something to do with it. Yeah, that's it, though.
More Red Dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. I don't think this timing is accidental with the popularity of Westworld and things like that, like announcing this game in the middle of the first season, which is like HBO's biggest show since Game of Thrones. Everyone just, they want to be a cowboy right now. Also, the original version's coming to PS Now.
Okay.
If you want to play it on your PS3, which is not worth it, I would assume. I think it's better to have
it's
an
also,
Xbox. It's just backwards compatible. That
yeah, it's also backwards compatible, yeah.
So. The only other bit of news that I saw is the SAG-AFTRA stuff, which we talked about earlier this year, but now it seems like a strike is more than likely to happen. And this is specific to video game voice actors,
right?
And stuff, and they wanted a number of things, some protections, some monetarily. The gist of it was, you know, they want like stunt, not like stunt insurance, like if they're doing motion capture and stuff and they got to do certain things, you know, that they're not necessarily trained to do. These people aren't like actors on film, right? They don't necessarily get stunt training. They want, and also for like things like, things that stress their vocal cords, like a lot of screaming or yelling and things like that. Like, you know, that's how they make most of their money. So, you know, some insurance on something like that, I think, is not necessarily a problem. And then and those things haven't necessarily been the problem. The big problem that the video game companies have had is the residuals. And originally, back I think in March or whatever, when negotiations had first leaked to the press or whatever, they wanted. It was like at certain tiers, it was like, hey, if your game sells 1 million copies, then the voice actors under the guild get an extra $300 or something like that. Like the royalties at the end amounted to about $3,000 extra. And that was it. Here it is. It says performers receive an additional full-scale payment for each 500,000 units up to a maximum of 4 secondary payments if the game sells 2 million. So, I mean, like, it's not like if your game is a runaway success and sells 20 million copies, suddenly a bunch of your profits have to go towards all the voice actors. Like, there's a cap at this sort of thing. But companies, like, and I guess in this latest thing, this is getting real into the minutiae, but like now we're literally at the point where we're arguing over semantics in this, where the companies are offering have offered additional compensation on top of a performer's regular pay depending on how much sections were worked at each game, maxing out at an extra $950 after 8 sessions. And then the union countered, saying that money is acceptable, but they wanted to call it residuals. By calling it that, the union could then make good on its promise to get residuals for video game performers, and then everyone would be satisfied. But the companies, for whatever reason, refused to call it that, saying it would be unfair to offer a buyout of something that isn't offered to the hundreds of animators or programmers who develop the games. So, like, we're now literally just talking about whether they get that money beforehand or after. And so, like, I'm not sure where the difference is in that, because I don't actually think that the video game companies care about the hundreds of animators and programmers who develop their games. Like, they don't represent them. They represent the publishers who have to pay for these things. It's very possible then that if, like, these don't get, if a deal isn't reached by Friday night at midnight Pacific Standard Time, then there will be a strike. And there are companies, there was a list of major companies that included people like Activision, EA, Ubisoft, Insomniac, a couple other companies that, like, anyone under the SAG-AFTRA will not work with until the deals are resolved. So, yeah, you might not see certain people doing certain characters in the next game in their series if these things aren't worked out.
We'll see. All right.
Yeah, that's
what were you gonna say, Earl?
I was gonna say games are made so far in advance that even if they went on strike, like, by the time this got around to something, if they settled, you could replace the voice actor with somebody else. Like, you can replace the old actor. Like, I assume anything that's out within the next 6 months is probably recorded by now.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. I don't think that's the problem. But, like, you know, I also don't know how early in advance things are recorded and stuff. Like, it depends on how long the strike lasts and stuff, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I, you know, unfortunately, like, video game people, like, video game voice actors aren't necessarily in a large bargaining position, because the exception of maybe somebody like Troy Baker and Nolan North have any staying power outside of people who, like, view the industry and stuff, like us and stuff, you know? So, like, in terms of bargaining, they don't necessarily have a leg to stand on, even though I agree that they should be paid for their time, and a small residual fee is sort of the drop in the bucket. But that's just me.
Yeah, you gotta save money how you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, Activision, man, they're really struggling with all that Call of Duty money.
Yeah.
That's it. All the big stuff kind of hit today.
I was going to say, I don't like the. We had a new Assassin's Creed trailer this week for the movie video game.
Right. I was like, excuse me? How did I miss that? I was like, Jesus, man, Nintendo carried the lead.
I did not see it.
I didn't either. I don't care.
Was it any good, Earl?
It's okay. It seems like it kind of confirms what they said, which is that this movie is mostly going to be focused on Michael Fassbender's character in the current day.
Right, not in the Animus,
sounds like the exact wrong move. That would be like if you made a game based around that dude in the modern time whose name I don't remember. And who is the guy who you played in modern time in the game?
He's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, but if you played a whole game as him...
Wait, he died?
Yes, he died at the end of 3.
Desmond?
Desmond Miles. Desmond dies at the end of 3.
Oh, wow.
So who is it now?
Now you're a Ubisoft game tester.
It's you. In fact, I don't even... So in 4, yeah, it was first person in 4. In Unity, it was first person. And in Unity, I think that person died as well. And in this new one, I'm not entirely sure exactly what the latest one, Syndicate. I'm not exactly sure what the you know, the tie-in there is to the modern times, but you're not playing in the modern times so far, so. Well, at least as far as I got into it. So.
It just, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I don't know, that movie's always felt like they're focusing on the exact wrong aspect. Like, they totally missed what everyone likes about Assassin's Creed, and
but
like, everyone likes the historical stuff, right? Like, that's why people play those.
It could also be that people don't necessarily want their historical stuff in a movie. Because, like, a lot of historical action stuff hasn't done well recently.
But I mean, if you do it in that framing device and like, hey, this is like a Matrix type thing, then I could get that. But like, if this is some vast conspiracy where like, I don't know. I don't think this movie's going to do very well. I think everyone's going to reject it because it's like, not only is it a video game movie, but it's also not a video game movie in all the wrong ways. Like, hey, it has the Assassin's Creed name, and yeah, he goes back to the past, but only kind of and occasionally. Otherwise, we're watching him in this blue cell with this matrixy device thing. I don't know.
I am curious to see how it does, just because it's been a very odd year for video game movies, and it will continue to be. I think, I mean, again, unrelated to video games directly, but they also announced a Candy Crush reality TV show this week.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know if anybody knows what to do with video games right now outside of video games.
It's not in a good position, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It is coming out. It comes out on the 21st, which is
of December.
Five days after Rogue One. So.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah.
I'll tell you this, whether it's based, like, whether it's true and faithful to the game or not, I think it's going to suck. Because if it's faithful to the game, then it's obviously going to suck.
Yeah. Right, well,
Jeff, you don't like Assassin's Creed, so.
I mean, I don't either, but I mean, like, I don't, like.
It's gonna suck. Just be honest.
I mean, of all the companies, like, Ubisoft, I don't feel like is the one to break the mold.
Well, I'm really curious because they're already going in on this because they announced they have a ton of movies in different stage of development.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now.
We got a Division movie coming up. Now, thankfully, Division like has so little story. All you really have to do is copy the setting and then you can do whatever you want.
It could just be anything. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you just like, as long as you set it in New York that had a virus and is now under quarantine, you can tell whatever story you want.
But that also sounds so generic.
Yeah, welcome to Ubisoft storytelling.
that's what I mean. Like, I got Ubisoft, and like, it also shows me like a lot of video games are just poorly named. Like, you hear the Division, and that's just nothing.
What was that?
Like, no, I'm just saying like, the names are poor. But yeah, they're doing a Rabbids movie, which I would say is way too late, but we got Angry Birds.
We're going to get both of those about 2 years after the fads have passed.
Dude, I would have been way too late 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Birds did very well, so I mean.
You want to talk about
Rabbids,
cool movie
dude? Rabbids is fucking.
Oh, no. Rabbids is gone, but. Like, I don't even think Rabbids were ever that big compared to Angry Birds.
No.
But. We did get the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer yesterday.
And
today we got the first trailer for Logan, the X-Men movie.
I've not seen either one of them. I'll have to watch both of them.
I am all about that Logan movie. Let me tell you. I wasn't up until I saw this trailer, and now it is easily one of the movies I'm most excited for. So, and that's all considering I haven't really liked a lot of the last X-Men movies. So.
Okay.
But, I think I got it. I'm excited for that one.
What were you going to say, Earl?
I think a lot of people are excited for it because it doesn't look like a traditional superhero movie.
Yes. Yes, there's very little about it, actually, that is X-Men-y, and I think,
but
ironically, that might be the best thing about it.
I'm curious about that because the Wolverine started off the same way until it became a comic book movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, Battlefield 1 comes out now.
I'm getting it tomorrow/now.
It is out now. So we'll probably be talking about that more next week. And Titanfall is next week, next Friday, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Titanfall is the 28th.
I feel like a lot of these games are just kind of coming up with no real fanfare.
Yes. I mean, Battlefield definitely has had some marketing behind it. Titanfall has seemingly been thrown out to die by EA.
Yeah, like, oh, you're right. Like, somebody told me yesterday that Watch Dogs 2 is out in a month. I'm like, I didn't even know that was this year.
Yeah, that's mid. It comes out the same week as Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah, but that's what I'll be getting.
Yeah, but compared to the hype for the first game, it seems like this is almost non-existent.
Yeah, and it looks better. Like, it looks like it's a better game, so...
Couldn't tell you.
And Dishonored 2 is in 3 weeks. Like,
yeah, buddy.
Which is actually kind of fun.
There has been some marketing on that I've seen.
A little bit.
More, at least, than the other two games we just mentioned.
Yeah. Weirdly, I haven't seen a lot of Infinite Warfare stuff. Maybe I'm just not watching the right TV.
I've honestly not seen any video game commercials this year. I mean, this fall so far.
There isn't a lot during football. I mean, I don't watch sports, but that seems to be when a lot of that Battlefield, like,
Infinite Warfare Gears of War.
I've seen Gears and Battlefield.
Yeah, I see Gears of War too often because it's very on the nose. My son's walking into a storm. I'm like, I played this game. I kind of get what you mean now. But yeah, like World of Final Fantasy came out yesterday, or is that next week?
I think that's next week. I think the Dragon Quest Builders came out.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, also, I guess as an aside, if you want to save money on video games, not next week, but the week after, Target's having its buy two, get one free sale.
Nice. Yeah, October 25th is World of Final Fantasy. So next Tuesday, or this Tuesday.
Coming, yes.
Yeah, coming Tuesday, yeah. And then Final Fantasy 15 is out next month.
Yes, and I hear it's good.
Yes, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm finally vindicated after 10 years of
10 years
waiting.
Speaking of, when is the Asgardian out?
October. Like, or did
no? Did it get delayed?
No, it got delayed. It's now in the old slot where South Park was. So December 6th.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So there are games coming out. I don't know if I'm getting The Last Guardian. But...
That game should come out for $30, and then I will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Next week, Batman: The Telltale Series Episode 3 is out.
I gotta wait until all 5 come out. I just got it.
They're doing a good job of getting them out on a consistent basis.
That's good. That only means I gotta wait until like January then, because I did the whole like week by week or episode by episode thing with Borderlands and then with Life is Strange, and it was miserable.
Borderlands was brutal because their schedule for that was all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, no. Borderlands, I'm sorry. Borderlands I played all the way through like a year after everything was released. Life is Strange, though, took me the better part of last year to get all the way through.
That was like every other month.
I mean, I love that game to pieces, but
I just got to throw out there. Life is Strange. Everyone play it.
Yeah, no, I mean, easily. Like, the more I think about that game, the more it's easily one of my favorites.
It's great.
Yeah, but.
All right, we'll be back next week to talk about all sorts of manner of things, and Tony will be back as well. So,
back from his work trip to Paradox.
Yes.
Is that where he works now?
Yes. officially, unofficially. All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.